Hello and good afternoon. I've got something a little different for you today. Instead of talking about demand side, I'm trying to play a little bit with some production numbers. We take a look at some of the figures that are out there on a weekly basis, crop condition numbers are one of them that are out there. I did a quick search on Google Scholar. I didn't find very much, but I've already found out that there are some things out there in the government sector, and there's some things out there certainly in the private sector that maybe we can't look at, but a lot of people have done some work on this, so just a little bit of exploratory in nature. Any comments, suggestions certainly are welcome. So just to give you an idea about why I'm trying to look at some of this stuff, of course this year we've got a much bigger crop. Part of that's due to the fact that we have had, of course, an increase in acreage. Something else you take a look at maybe contributing to the size of the crop this year is the fact that crop condition ratings have been pretty good. You take a look at condition ratings this year in the final week of available data, which is week 39. Those condition ratings were the highest that we've had essentially in more than 10 years. So big crop, good condition ratings, and we also have record yields. So the question is, are we going to be able to explain much of this positivity in yields through these condition ratings or not? What is the statistical relationship? Are we able to flush it out? And the first step for that is just taking a look at what might be available to be explained by these condition ratings. And to do that, we can take a look at what some other factors might be able to explain in terms of variation in yield. One of those, I think, could just be simply the time trend. By using this time trend, we're trying to capture changes in varieties. And if you take a look at the time trend, we are able to get some fit in there. We get an increase of about 9 pounds per acre per year with about a 65% R-squared rating. So not great, but maybe okay considering that our sample size is only a little bit over 30. The reason why I limited my sample size over 30 is guess how far back our crop condition ratings run. So here I'm just trying to explore a little bit more in terms of how much leftovers there might be. So how much is there beyond the time trend that we can potentially explain by looking at crop condition? So here I've got some statistics thrown up for you. This is just a simple set of regression results from time trend on yield. This is a yield per planted acre here on the left side. On the right side, I've got yield per harvested acre. Reason why I point out this is because when you're talking about yield, there, of course, there are some important differences whether you're talking about yield per planted acre or yield per harvested acre. You can compare the values. You see the slopes higher on our right side, so we're getting more explanatory power when we talk about yield per harvested acre. You've also got our R-squared numbers much higher on our right side than on our left side. That's because implicit in our yield per harvested acre numbers is abandonment. And then also you can take a look at our standard errors. This is the root mean squared error of our residuals, which are in pounds per acre terms. You also see that smaller, and you can see our standard error or of the regression, or so root mean squared error divided by our average, also smaller for our harvested numbers. So in terms of potential for explanatory power for our crop condition numbers, we're obviously looking at more potential on yield per planted acre than we are for yield per harvested acre. But we probably have some possibility for improving both sets of results. So we ran these numbers not only at the national level, we ran them at the regional level, we ran them at the state level, just to get an idea about what the variations might be. The general patterns you see, of course, we get more explanatory power of time as we look at our harvested numbers as opposed to our planted numbers. Something that's interesting here, you take a look at our southeastern states, we do see some pretty good variation among these states in terms of how well we're able to predict yield according to time. You take a look at states that have had less luck, that includes the Carolinas and Florida. My intuition there is that these states are more susceptible to tropical storms. As a result, the predictive power of yield from varieties or from time is less than it is for other states that may have less exposure to hurricanes. Similarly, you can take a look at our numbers for the Mid-South. Throughout the Mid-South, you see that there is better R-squared, better predictive power through time, or better predictive power through perhaps our varieties, due to the fact, I think, that we have less tropical storms in that region. In the Southwest, we do see, once again, some better R-squared, particularly on our harvested side, because I think less tropical storms or late-season storms, possibly. And then far west, we get some decent R-squareds there as well. So some differences in terms of our regions. And this is just a preliminary step trying to get an idea about what the leftovers might be, what we might be able to explain from crop condition. So they get to a crop condition ratings themselves. Observers go out in the spring, summer from the USDA every year. They have five different ratings going from very poor all the way through to excellent. These data go back to 1986, at least for cotton. There is some variation depending on the state, depending on how what time of year is actually covered. But generally, these data go through the 23rd week of the year through the 39th week of the year, which means early June through October. So what are we trying to explore here? We're trying to find out what the relationship is between yield and condition, whatever, beyond what was available from just the time trend itself. So we have a lot of specifications that we're looking at. We have yield planted and yield harvested as our dependent variable. Our explanatory variables, we're looking at simple time trends. And then we have our condition numbers that we include in there. And the excluded one we have is a fair condition rating. We also might take a look at abandonment. So we talked about abandonment being implicit in our acreage harvested numbers. So as a result, we may want to run alternate specification for our yield per planted acres by including that as an explanatory variable as well. And then if you really want to take a look at abandonment directly, you can take a look at abandonment simply as a function of condition. So we did that. And then what about time? So the approach we use here is essentially simple OLS. The statistical approach, not too complicated, but the underlying data are pretty complicated. We've got not only variations in terms of specifications, you know, what are you exactly trying to model, but you've also got differences in timing throughout the year. So you may expect, you know, the observations you have from week 23 in early June probably have less things to tell you than what you'd have from week 39, which would be condition ratings in mid-October. Then, of course, on top of that, you've got variation across regions, nationals, and states. So we run, obviously, a ton of regressions and still trying to wade through some of the results. But here I'm going to share that with you right now. Once again, it's a little bit complicated just due to the fact that the data themselves are a little bit complicated. But what you're looking at here are a series of about 20 regressions. And what I'm plotting is the R-squared, adjusted R-squared values coming out from each of those regressions. And you can see them over time. As you would expect, as we get deeper into the season, we have greater predictive power from our condition ratings. Similarly, we can take a look at a chart and see what our coefficient levels are. So the blue lines are showing you either excellent or good numbers. I wanted to try and highlight not only what our coefficient readings were, but also significance here. We've got about 30 observations for each of these models represented by each single point in each of these lines. But where we have significant values, meaning 10% or more significant p-value, we have a solid line leading up to it, and we indicated that with a little dot. So take a look at these numbers. You can see that as we get deeper into this season, we do have significant readings for our excellent condition ratings, at least in terms of this national model. We have some sporadic significance in terms of our good ratings and some sporadic rating significance in terms of our very poor ratings. But overall, not great. You guys may be taking a look at this and say, obviously the reason for that is because you got a lot of collinearity going on. So maybe we can try and respecify. So if we respecify and just dump things together, take a look at a lot of commentators in the market. They'll dump good and excellent together, and they'll dump poor, very poor together. So that's what we did here. When we did that, we got the coefficient values you would expect, and that blue is above zero. So if you do have good or excellent condition ratings, you would expect that to have a positive impact on yield. And you do see our gray line, meaning poor, very poor, negative, meaning a negative impact on yield, which is what you'd expect. But once again, we're trying to highlight significance here as well. And even though we did get rid of some variables by pulling things together, we didn't get any significance in terms of these coefficient readings at any point from the 23rd through the 39th week. Here we can take a look at alternate specifications. So we talked about doing yield per planted, yield per harvested. Here we did yield per planted, also including abandonment in there. When we do include abandonment in there, we have some spaghetti soup going on here, but you do see that our excellent readings having some significance at the end and our some very poor having significance at the end, but the very poor as the wrong sign. So still got some things to work on. We can take the lumped approach here as well. When we do that, you see positive coefficient values, no significance once again, but you take a look at our negative, our poor, very poor, moving along near zero, but we'd expect that to be negative, and we're not getting that. Probably some collinearity between poor, very poor, and abandonment, which is something that you could expect. So here, if you guys haven't seen enough on a chart already, we'll see how busy I can make things. But here we've got adjusted R-squared, just trying to put everything together. This is all of our specifications. So we've got yield per planted acre plus condition, and then we've got that with lump condition. You can see they're very collinear, so it really doesn't matter how you want to try and model it in terms of what your predictive power is. Here you can take a look at us including abandonment. We get a little bit better predictive ability. We got R-squareds over 70%. You want to take a look at our yield per harvested. Essentially, we're getting the same predictive ability we do as if we include abandonment as a explanatory variable for planted acres. Then the one interesting, more interesting case may be abandonment itself. So a function, trying to model abandonment as a function of crop condition. We do have some separation in terms of predictive ability with the unaggregated condition ratings having better significance than our aggregated condition ratings. So a lot of questions here we're trying to answer, trying to figure out how we need to specify these things. The only time it really seems to make it makes a difference is if you're trying to predict abandonment through a condition. So here we're trying to, here I've just got coefficient values for abandonment versus condition. Things here are flipped. Here you want gray to be positive. The worse rating you have for your crop, the more abandonment you'd expect. So you can see very poor having significant predictive ability there. And you do see the percent good having significantly negative predictive ability there as well. So trying to put all this together, a lot going on once again. We're going to take a look at what's going on nationally and regionally. Here we're putting some of these values in there. This is just our squared readings for each of these specifications. You can see that the top predictive that we're getting at a national level is a condition and abandonment model. We're able to get about 82% R squared. Regional level, we get things being a little bit better, particularly take a look at southeast and mid-south. And we can compare all these to the time alone. So we are getting some help from condition, but I think we've got some more that we can do. So this is still exploratory in terms of how it is and where we are. What we're working towards eventually is trying to get indexes for condition, trying to boil down those USDA figures, which are really five different readings, down into one. I think what we can do is further parse out the most significant combinations of conditions in terms of a regional basis, and then try and build that back into a national model. Just for example, if you take a look at California, where things are always sunny, you may not have big variation in terms of taking a look at good, excellent readings versus poor readings, just because things are never poor out there. But you may have more of a separation between good and excellent condition ratings out there. again, you can contrast that with Texas, where you'd expect there to be higher poor, very poor readings too. Something else we'd incorporate is potential possibility of tropical storms as we get in to the later parts of the season. Also take a look at crop progress, see how we can intertwine those two sets of variables together. Also take a look at how we can potentially model in-season estimates, so USDA monthly estimates. And then finally, something we could do is probably try and tie this all in to quality. So that's what I got. Any questions?
Sure. Some thought comments here. It would be, if somebody looks at the macro, and Stephen may be able to contradict me or agree with me, either one, but if you can take crop condition index and predict abandonment, that does more for me trying to figure out what I think the production number is going to be this year than trying to predict what the yield would be. Because the yield's not going to be too far off a trend unless you have a major event. So if you can't predict yield, you know, maybe just the ability to predict abandonment would be good. But just a couple of thoughts. So if you've got clinarity problems, or you're not, maybe taking just a ratio of good to poor as one variable, as opposed to having separate variables, so you're losing degrees of freedom and all that sort of stuff. Or another thought is maybe relative to the average, because if you're looking at June's crop condition index, it's not necessarily what the crop condition index says it is right now, but maybe where it is relative to what the long-term average is. Which gets me to the last one. I'd like to know, and this is not part of yours, but it'd be interesting since you have all the data, is there a systematic pattern between, say, first and last, so 23rd week versus 39th week? Is it always, do the estimates tend to get better, or do they tend to get worse over time? I mean, I know it's supposed to reflect the underlying conditions, but sometimes there's a bias And that may be why you don't pick up some things, because those early ones are probably, you know, it's kind of like long-term weather forecasts. They just kind of pick the average.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so does the early predict the end?
Yeah.
And I think we picked up a little bit of that in the southeast where things were off. Because I think you get more surprises there
right.
because of storms.
Right.
But,
okay.
A lot to do. Thank you.